11 January 1992, we will continue our Dhamma talk. The purification by overcoming doubt. Yesterday, I stopped my Dhamma talk with the questions. You remember? I took an example of a noting thought process. When you are meditating, when the mind goes out and thinks about something else, when you are aware of the thought, you note it, thinking, attentively, energetically. Then thought process going on. At the same time, the noting process is going on. The noting mind knows the thought process. So there are two processes of a mentality arising at the same moment. Actually, even though it appears that the two processes are arising at the same moment, it's not so. Every thought moment arises one after arises and passes with one after another. Then every noting mind process also arises alternately after disappearance of a thought process. When the moment of a noting mind process has disappeared, and then the thought moment arises and passes away. In this way, the two processes arising and passing away alternately. But the rising and passing away of a mental disease is so too sweet, we can't differentiate between the two processes. So we think the two processes are rising at the same moment. Yes. Then, when we note thinking, when our concentration this is somewhat good, we can observe the thought process precisely and closely. We know it, or the note my note is the know it clearly. Then my question is, when you find this dual process rising and passing away, do you find anything else apart from these dual processes at this moment? That's the question. Except for these dual processes, did you find any mentality or physicality or any everlasting entity except for these dual processes? That's my question. I mean that you must realize this through your personal experience. Then again, I will take another example. You observe rising and falling movement of the abdomen. When the abdomen rises, you note rising. When abdomen falls, you note falling. In this way, rising, falling. You have practiced this meditation 16 days, I think. Is it right? So your concentration becomes deeper. You very clearly realize the rising movement and falling movement of the abdomen, the very beginning, the middle, and the final phases of rising movement and falling movement very clearly. While your noting mind is realizing the process of rising movement and falling movement, do you find any other things except for this dual process of the object and the subject? While you are observing rising movement, then you know there's a rising movement, you note it, and there's the mind that notes it. So you are realizing the dual process of rising movement and the mind that notes it, noting processes. At that moment, the moment you are realizing in this way, do you find or do you know any other thing except for this dual process of mentality and physicality? That's the question I put to you. Please reflect upon your experience of rising and falling of the abdomen while you are meditating on it. If the concentration is high, then you know anything, you do not know anything else. That means except for this dual process. Do you reflect upon your experience? Theoretically. Not through experience. Then? Yes, if you are able to realize that this is just a natural process of rising movement and this is the mind that notes it, if you know it, you have no attachment at all. What you are realizing, it is just a dual process of mentality and physicality, that's all. Mindfulness destroys all the attachments. Yes, If your mind is well concentrated on this rising movement and the mind that notes it, and the rising movement then knows it as just a natural process of a movement, is there any general awareness and background or foreground? You should reflect upon your experience. That's why yesterday I said, please find out it through your experience. Yes. Nothing is found except for this dual process of mentality and physicality. What you are realizing at that moment is just rising movement and falling, the mind that knows it. When you observe falling movement, then you find the falling movement and the mind that knows it. When concentrations become deeper, you are not even conscious of your bodily form or yourself. Only this dual process exists in the whole world, in the universe. Because you lost the sense of your bodily form and yourself. So, there is nothing else apart from this dual process of a mental phenomenon and physical phenomena, while you are realizing them very clearly and distinctly. Then again, when your concentration becomes deeper and deeper, then some of the meditator here in this retreat experienced a series of many tiny broken movement of physical process. There's a rising movement. And also the mind which notes it. They do not realize that the mind, the noted mind, is comprised of a series of thought moments which are arising one after another, and knowing the object passed away, knowing the object passed away, knowing the object passed away. But that they do not have that experience yet. But in the other aspect of meditation, they have some experience of mental process which is impermanent. So, when you are realizing a series of many tiny broken movement of arising, and many tiny broken movements are falling, do you take this process to be permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, because many broken movements means one movement arises and then passes away. Then another movement arises and passes away. Then another movement arises and passes away. In this way, the process of many tiny broken movements arising. Then what we hear realizes that none of a physical process is permanent. every physical process or corporeal phenomena is subject to impermanence. Then, when we practice walking meditation, we observe, first of all, the intention, intending. Then, lifting movement of the foot. Then, intending. Then, pushing movement of the foot. Then, intending. Then dropping movement of the foot or the placing. Then touching. Then intention and pressing movement of the foot. In this way, we very carefully and mindfully aware of each movement of the foot together with the intention that preceding, gradually our foot becomes a light. Then what we are realizing is that when we note lifting, we are realizing one movement after another arising, lifting. Then when we observe the pushing, then one movement after another is pushed forward successively as a process. In this way, dropping, pressing movement also same. Many of the meditators here who take in enough interest in the walking meditation and be aware of the movement of the foot very attentively and energetically, they experienced it. They are at least four or five meditators who experienced in this way, experiencing many movements of lifting, many movements of pushing, many movements of dropping, and many movements of pressing. Then before lifting movement, he has to observe the intention. After intentions are observed, he observed lifting, then intention, then pushing forward. Then could you say all these movement of lifting, pushing, dropping, pressing are permanent? Huh? No, why? You know it theoretically. Huh? Do you know it theoretically? Huh? Through experiential knowledge. But you are too reluctant to say that it's through personal experience. Huh? So, then, lifting movement is also impermanent. Pushing, dropping, pressing movement are also impermanent. They are ever-changing process of arising and passing away of a physical phenomena. Is it right? If this phenomenon, physical phenomenon of movement is impermanent, should we take it to be everlasting entity? No. Then should we take pushing movement of a physical phenomenon to be an everlasting entity? No. In the same way, dropping movement, touching sensation, pressing movements are also cannot be taken for an everlasting entity. Is it right? It can be realized through personal experience of a meditator who has put enough effort in his practice. Then, now it's clear that none of a physical process is permanent, so they are not everlasting entity. Is it right? There. If they are not everlasting entity, are they a person, a being, an individual? No. Why? What we take to be a person is everlasting. So, this is lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movement, and pressing movement are subject to impermanence, so they are neither a person nor an individual. Then they may be I or you. No. If they are not a person, not a being, not individual, they are neither I nor you, then they must be they. Yes. They must be, they means they must be the process of rising movement, lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movement, and pressing movement. Yes. But actually they are not the third person. Not the third person. Neither first, nor second, nor third person. It's very clear through your experience. Then we should take we should notice that at the moment of a realization of a lifting, pushing, dropping, and pressing, touching sensation and pressing movements, there is no person, no being. No I or no you. What really exists at that moment is just physical process which is ever changing, rising and passing away. Is it right? Then we should take mental process. The intention and the mind notes the object. Is the intention permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, because when it arises, we observe it as intention, then it disappears. So it's impermanent, very evident. Then, what about the mind that notes the lifting movement? Is the noting movement permanent or impermanent? Impermanent. Why? When the noting mind notes one movement of lifting, then it disappears. Then another movement arises and it notes and disappears. But to our meditator, it's not very yet clear. Not very, very clear yet. When you know, say, lifting, noting, the food is lifted and then the mind knows or note it. The food is pushed forward, then the mind knows and notes it. When your meditational experience is a measure, whenever you note the lifting movement, the mind, not only a single mind, but also many tiny minds and droppings to the foot and notes it one after another, as if you are seeing a trickling of waters. Have you had experience there? Not yet, but it's very rare to experience in this way. Because only when your concentration is very deep enough and your insight clear and sharp and penetrating, then you can realize in that way. Very interesting. Then the noting mind notes the lifting of the movement, the lifting movement. Then it has to note intention to lift, intention. Then it has to note pushing, then intention. In this way, the mind notes one object after another, very instantly arising and passing away. Could you say the mind that notes the intention is the same one as the mind that notes the lifting movement? No. Not the same one, then? Different ones, different process of noting knows the intention, and also another process of noting mind knows the lifting movement. You can easily realize it through your experience. Because when you note intention, then observe you note intention and noting intention. Then the mind drops out. Then you have to lift a movement. Then the new mind notes it. Then it drops out. In this way, you come to realize the noting mind that knows the intention and the noting mind that knows lifting movements are different ones, different processes. If these two minds are different processes, could we say the note in mind is a permanent. Impermanent. It arises, passes away. Some of the yogis experience the appearance, appearance and disappearance of the mental states when they are very carefully aware of all daily activities. They reported their experience. If they reflect upon their experiences, they will remember it. Yes, then here what I want to tell you is, when we note right, ending, lifting, ending, pushing, ending, dropping, ending, pressing, or touching, ending, pressing, what we find is only dual process. That's the process of a lifting movement and the process of a noting mind. We do not find any other things except for these dual process of mentality and physicality which are observed while we are meditating on the step. That's the one point. Another point is none of physical movements is also permanent. None of the noting mind is also permanent. Everything is subject to impermanence. Then individuality, Adha, self or soul or ego, is everlasting entity, we take it. But the physical process is not permanent, so it's not everlasting entity, neither a person nor a being. Mental process is also impermanent, so it's neither a person nor a being, nor the self or soul. Then, when we walk and observe the movement of the foot, do we find any person or being? No. Then, what really exists is a dual process of a mentality and physicality. But they are doing their function, the movement, wind element, air elements, does its function, moving, vibrating. The mind, its function is to know the object, one after another. So the noting mind also knows the object. But there is the law. For these mental states, these mentality, emotionalities, to do their functions, you know that law. You don't know. I don't know. Yes. That is a motive, volition, chetana, intention. Because the intention arises, you lift the foot. Because if the intention arises, you push it forward. Because if the intention arises, you drop it down. But for touching sensation, there's no intention. Whether you have intention to touch or not, when the food drops down, it will touch it. But dropping of the food is the cause of the touching sensation. Because you drop the food, it touches the floor. Then, because the intention arises, you press the foot forward. In this way, we say, and in conventional terms, we make a step. Huh? Yes, those are conventional terms. To communicate with each other. We use it. Then another foot is about to lift, then intention rises, note, in this way, intention lifting, intention pushing, intention dropping, touching, intention pressing. Then another step is made. Who make it? Eh? I or you? Eh? Who make it? Without intention, could you note? Without condition, intention, could you make any step? No. Then, it's the intention that makes the stepping. It's right? Then, is intention a person or a being, and I know a you? Eh? No, it's a mental process, mental states. Then, in the walking, do we find any person or being, I or you? No. What is that? The law of a causal relation. Because when there is a cause, there arises an effect. When another cause arises, and there is an effect. In this way, the cause and effects are related to each other and do their functions. Is it right? Then, could we say in this present existence there is a person who is a I? No. Then, if we can't, if we cannot say there is a person in the walking in this existence, then could we say there was a person who walked in the past existence? Huh? No. Then could we say there will be a person in the future existence? Huh? No. Then what do you find there if we do not find person or being causing effect? So when you have realized the cause and effect of a body mind process in this way, enter deeper in a deeper sense, then you don't find any everlasting entity, any person or being in this existence. Then, in the past existence? No. Then in the future? No.
Dice Noé, dice, my answer or your answer? Both. Then, could we have doubt about the existence of a person in the past existence, that the past life, present life, and the future? No. Then this doubt had been purified. It has been expelled, it had been destroyed. We have no doubt about the existence of a person or being. No person, no being exists in the world. What really exists is the cause, the law of a causal relation. There, this is called a purification by overcoming doubt. That's what I want to try. What I want to try to explain to you. Clear? Very clear, because you experience some. But if you are able to experience more and more insight, knowledge of many stages, you will be very much pleased with this purification by overcoming doubt. Then, this insight knowledge, discerning conditionality, sometimes we say, Pachya Parigraha Jnana, the insight knowledge, discerning conditionality, sometimes we say, Pajya Parigrahanyana, the insight knowledge of a causal relation. Sometimes we say, Pajya Parigrahanyana, the insight knowledge of a cause and effect. To fully realize the cause and effect of a body mind process, you need to be mindful of intention before every action. In the walking, in the daily activities too. That's why I instruct you to be mindful of intention as much as possible. And also in an interview, I asked you, could you know intention? Sometimes I ask you, could you experience the relationship between the intention and the movement or the action that follows? But you can't answer this question because you haven't yet experienced clearly. But some have experienced it, but not very clearly. Later on, you will be able to experience it very, very clearly, then you will be able to know. Then I don't want to listen to your experience. Somewhat deep concentration, you cannot realize this cause and effect if you noticed your experience. When the abdomen rises, you note rising. When the abdomen falls, you note falling. When the abdomen rises, you can't help noting it. You have to note it. Why? Because there's the object which is to be noted. If there's an object, you must note it. because you come here to note or to be mindful of, to be aware of. Yeah, you have nothing to do, nothing else to do. Just to be aware of it, just to be mindful of it, just to note when there arises the object. So now, the rising movement, distinct, become distinct. You have to note it. Then rising movement disappeared. Then the movement, the abdomen falls. Then you have to note the falling movement. Why do you have to note the falling movement? Yes, there's the object to be noted. So you have to note. Then here, very simple and very clear experience, yeah? Let it be. We should go to awareness of a daily activity. If you meditate, lay emphasis on awareness of a daily activity and try to be aware of more daily activities in more detail and slowing down all actions and movements as much as possible. Then, say, in dining room, why do you go to dining room? To desire. Because desire to eat. Because the desire to eat arises, you have to go, then you have to take your fork, your plate, and you have to take food and put into the plate, and then go to the table and sit down on the bench, the chair. All these activities you have to note. Did you note? Did you observe them? Yes. When you very carefully observe them, I think you have a very few activity to observe. Very few activity to observe. Lord, yes, a great number of activities you have to observe. Then, say, when you have an intention to reach out your hand to the plate, then you have to know intention, then you have to know reaching the hand. Then when your hands near the plate, then you want to hold it, then intention, then you touch it, touching, you hold it, and you take, and then you take it. Then, again, you have to reach out for what? For fork. Then, and then reaching, and then, when they're approaching the fox, ending, holding, or touching, and taking, and so. Then, does your mind note one object or many objects? One. Yes, at the moment, the mind has to note only one, but it doesn't stay with it. Why? Because in this object arises, then it notes it, and it doesn't stay with it long. Then, what does it? Then this next activity arises, then notes it. Then, here you find cause and effect. Do you find? What's the cause? The activities, the objects are the cause. The mind that notes them are is vala, which is effect. Then here, what do we find is when there's an object, there arises the mind that notes it. The object is the cause, the noting mind is effect. Then could we say the noting mind has already existed before the object arising? No. Then when the noting mind arises? When does the noting mind arise? When the object arises, the noting mind arises. Yes. Before the mind notes the object, there's a intention to note it. But that intention is not distinct. Not distinct. So, because the object arises, then the mind that notes it or arises and knows it. So the object is the cause and the noting mind is effect. In this way, you can realize the law of cause and effect, or causal relation of mental and physical phenomena. When you have realized this world is just a cause and effect, then you have no idea of a person, a being who is everlasting. Do you have? So-called a person is taken to be everlasting. From he was born to he is dead. Everlasting. But actually when you observe mental and physical processes, do you find anything which is everlasting? You didn't find. Then neither physical process nor mental process is a person, a being. Then do you take this dual process of a mental and physical physicality to be a person, a being? No. Then where the person, a being exist? It doesn't exist, so it doesn't disappear. Because when you observe so-called a person, a being, what you find is just a mental process and physical process, which are also ever impermanent. Then you don't have any person who is everlasting. Then you have removed the idea of a person, a being, a self or a soul and atta. Through realization of the cause and effect of bodily and mental phenomena. Then, when you can realize that you can discern this causal relations of a bodily process, and sitting meditation, or invoking meditation, or awareness of a daily activity, where could you realize this a cause and effect? Everywhere, every moving, and everything. So, in the sitting too, you have this inside knowledge which discerns a cause and effect. In the walking too, you have this inside knowledge discerning conditionality. In the awareness of daily activities, you have this inside knowledge of a cause and effect. Is it so? Then, if you practice sitting meditation, it's beneficial or not? Does it produce any effect, any benefit? Then, walking meditation. Does walking meditation produce any benefit? You know the benefit of mindful walking. Mindful walking. Then does awareness of a daily activity produce any benefit? A lot. So, then what you do? You have to be mindful of mental and physical process and sitting and the walking and awareness of a daily activity too. Then you would have a continuity of a mindfulness for the whole day. Could you have? Yes. Not yet, but you could have. If you put enough effort in the practice. So, the point is to realize this law of a causal relation and the other experience of insight meditation. The most important point is what? What's the most important point? Factor. Yes, there must be the cause of it. There must be the cause of it. What's the cause of a constant and continuous mindfulness? Effort, not only effort. Not only strenuous effort, but also patience. Effort, patience, and perseverance. These three factors are the most important ones to have realized the embodiment process. Strenuous effort, and patience and what? Perseverance. Because you put some more effort, it is somewhat satisfactory, but you have less patience, more impatience. So you have to train yourself to be patient with everything, everyone. So that you can put enough effort in the note, in the practice. Then, in this respect of causal, the inside knowledge of a causal relation, I have some more points to explain you. If you want to listen to, I'll do. Yes, tomorrow. Time's up. Time's up. Tomorrow we'll continue it. But for your good experience, this explanation is enough to arouse you, your curiosity or expectation. Yes, may all of you strive your best to be mindful of all mental and physical phenomena and realizing them and attain the cessation of suffering, Nibbana.